makers of X-Lax, the original chocolated laxative, present Strange as It Seems. Some morning soon, you may wake up sniffling and sneezing. You have a headache, chills, your nose and eyes water. You're sick and miserable because you have a cold. But don't wait for that to happen. Take care of yourself now. Guard against colds by following these rules. Get enough sleep. Eat wisely. Dress warmly. Keep your feet dry. And above all, keep regular. But in keeping regular, don't lower your resistance to colds by taking a laxative that weakens you. Take a laxative that is kind to your system, that is mild, gentle, yet effective. That's X-Lax, the correctly timed laxative. You'll find it agrees with you and everyone else in your family, young or old. And X-Lax tastes just like smooth, delicious chocolate.
The Bloodless Battle. When did a pine log win a battle? The Revolutionary War is raging, and General George Washington is having a difficult time keeping up the spirits of his tattered army. One of his trusted leaders, General Morgan, is in command of all operations in South Carolina. General Washington's cousin is a colonel under General Morgan. General Morgan has called in Colonel Washington for a conference.
I want you to take a force to Rougeley's Mill in Kershaw County.
Yes, General.
One of the enemy, Colonel Rougeley, is making us a lot of trouble. He has fortified his barn and his house and has over 100 men there to defend it. We've got to clean that nest out.
But, sir, how can I hope to succeed against a large force of well-equipped English? We can't spare enough men for such an attack.
How many men have you available for this operation?
About 10, General Morgan. Several of them poorly armed.
Nevertheless, you must defeat Colonel Rougeley, or we will have more and more trouble of this sort.
Very well, General. I'll go to Rougeley's Mill tomorrow.
Detail, halt!
Halt!
Captain Nicholas.
Yes, Colonel Washington.
You see right down there? That's Rougeley's house.
Yes, sir.
Now, how can we approach the house without being fired on?
Why, it's impossible, sir.
We're covered by those trees now, but... Nicholas, we must think of some trick. I wonder...
Colonel Washington!
Yes, Captain?
Oh, why, I'm sorry, sir. I fancied for a second there was a man over there behind a cannon.
What?
Why, that's one of our own men standing by a fallen pine tree.
It does look like a cannon.
We only had a cannon and aimed it at that house down there. Colonel Rougeley wouldn't dare give battle.
Captain Nicholas, we have a cannon.
What, sir? I don't...
We'll use that pine log.
But, Colonel...
If we're fooled by it at only 10 yards away, how about the enemy 400 yards away?
Colonel Washington, I'm...
I'm going to risk it. Men, yes, drag that pine log over here. Point it at that house. Now, Captain, as soon as it's set up, I'll go to Colonel Rougeley under flag of truce and demand his immediate surrender. May my bluff be successful.
Halt! Who goes there?
Colonel Washington and party, on the flag of truce to speak to Colonel Rougeley.
Flag of truce, party, stand. Advance, Colonel Washington.
I am Colonel Rougeley.
And I am Colonel Washington. I demand the immediate surrender of your entire force.
What? Surrender to a handful of rebels?
Look over there on that ridge before you say any more. There's a cannon set up there, trained on this house. If you refuse to surrender, my men will blow you to pieces.
Why? This is preposterous.
Look at the cannon.
I cannot throw away the lives of my men. Well, what are your terms?
Immediate and unconditional surrender of your entire force. All your ammunition and supplies.
I have no choice. I accept your terms. unconditional surrender.
And that is the strange but true story of the bloodless battle of the Revolutionary War. Strange as it seems, a pine log set up on a hill looked so much like a cannon that it caused the surrender of a force of 112 men to a little band of 11 tattered Americans. The Prodigal Turtle. ...1899... the little town of Crockett, California. J.K. Jensen has a reason for feeling badly. A friend stops in to commiserate with him.
Gee, I'm sorry about that turtle, J.K.
You know, I feel sort of lost without old Solomon around. His shell made a sort of scraping noise on the floor, and it got to be a real comfort hearing it.
When did he disappear?
I missed him yesterday. I'm afraid something's happened to him.
I don't see how it could. Now, that horny shell, he's pretty well protected.
I'd say somebody had stolen him, but I carved my initials on his shell when I first got him 2 years ago, and nobody could get him off.
Well, he'll come back. Don't worry. He'll get tired of looking for things to eat, and then he'll be lonesome for the old folks at home.
Thirty years go by. World War wrecks the lives of tens of millions. The United States steps in. After the war comes prosperity. And then in 1929, the fatal crash when stocks plummet to the bottom. Jensen has almost forgotten old Solomon, the wandering turtle. One afternoon in 1929, he is sitting on his front lawn reading the paper.
J.K.
Oh, hello, Sam. Come here. Sit down for a second.
Okay. Got anything on for tonight?
Don't think so. Why?
I thought maybe we might get together. Go to see a show.
Well, I might. Hang it all. Somebody's rolled a rock over there onto those new flowers.
There must be the kids down the street. Regular varmints.
You better get it off before it ruins everything. Say, it's Solomon.
What?
It's the turtle.
You mean it's your old turtle?
Yes, sir.
Why, it can't be.
It sure is. There's my initials on him. J.K. 1897. See? He's as lively as ever, looking at me with those beady little eyes of his.
Well, for Lord's sake. You better get the fatted calf ready, J.K. The prodigal turtle's come home.
Strange as it seems, King Solomon, a turtle, left J.K. Jensen of Crockett, California in 1899 and didn't return until 30 years later, apparently none the worse for his travels during the 3 decades that intervened. America's strange benefactor. ...1826, Paris. James Smithson, wealthy Englishman living in France, talks to his close friend, Dominique Arago, the famous physicist. They are seated in the library of Smithson's flat in Montparnasse.
I'm an old man, Dominique, old and sick. Frankly, I'll not be sorry when death knocks at my door.
Ah, but James, you should not feel this way. Think what you have given to the world of science and chemistry.
I've tried to give much, but I haven't succeeded in doing one thing to make my name remembered.
Tell me something, James. I've always wanted to ask you.
A confession?
Oh, perhaps. Once at Calais, I saw you watching a boat leaving for Dover with a look of longing. Do you remember what you said?
Yes. I said I would never go back to England. Never.
And yet, how you love her.
Yes, I do love her. Plague take it.
Why don't you want to go back, James? For many years, you have wanted over Europe an alien in a foreign land. You should go back.
No, never. England doesn't want me.
What happened in England? Tell me. I am your friend.
Very well. I will tell you. My mother was a noble woman, niece of the Duke of Somerset, descended from King Henry VII. She met Hugh Smithson. She loved him. I am a child of that love. Later, he became the Duke of Northumberland and took the name of Hugh Percy by Act of Parliament.
Why, then, you are an English nobleman, Jay.
No, you're wrong. My father never recognized me as his son. And so, although I inherited a fortune from my mother, I have no name. I'm the son of a duke, and yet no son. That is why I do not return to my country.
Ah, you have let this injustice color your entire life, James.
But at last I thought of a way to avenge my honor. My name shall live in the memory of man when the titles of Northumberland and Percy are forgotten.
What are you going to do?
Here in my desk is my will. Listen to this one clause. In the case of the death of my nephew without leaving issue, I then bequeath the whole of my property to the United States of America.
What, James?
To found at Washington under the name of the Smithsonian Institution an establishment for the increase and diffusion of knowledge among men.
But why to the United States? You've never even been there. You don't know anyone there. It's a rough country, James, full of savages and violent men. What can it do to increase the knowledge of mankind?
Perhaps it is a young country, as you say, and full of savages. But youth is the time for progress and learning. These rough men may not be as rough as you think they are.
But your own country needs...
I have made up my mind. All my life I've tried to be of use to the world of science. Science has not needed me. Perhaps what I could never do in life, I will be able to do in death.
Strange as it seems, the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., one of the greatest institutions in the world, was founded by a man who was not an American, who was never in America, and who knew no one living in America. Among the countless useful researches of the Smithsonian Institute was an investigation into weather conditions that resulted in the establishment of the United States Weather Bureau. Occasionally you've heard someone remark, "Give me the good old days." There were more to the good old days than the Florodora sextet, 15-course dinners, and dashing Beau Brummels. There were wooden washtubs, straw mattresses, oil lamps to fill, and a whole volume could be written on the unpleasant mixtures that people swallowed when they needed a laxative. Strange as it seems, there are people today who cling to those not-so-good old days, who punish themselves with harsh, unpleasant medicines. And how silly that is. Ex-Lax, you know, is the modern laxative. Not only does it taste good, just like delicious chocolate, but it's good for you. Ex-Lax is mild and gentle with your system because it is correctly timed, yet it is thoroughly effective. Everyone in your family, young or old, will like Ex-Lax. Always keep a box handy in your medicine chest. There are 10-cent and 25-cent sizes at all drugstores. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, with original music composed and conducted by Felix Mills. Two pints do not always make a quart.